God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight in our Advent preparation, we're going to talk about the concept of faith. Let me ask you, how many of you view your faith as an asset instead of a liability? Is your faith something that can get you through the difficult times? Or does sometimes your faith become a stumbling block? What happens when our faith does, or if it does, waver? Have we ever had second thoughts? Are we 100% sure of what we believe? I will admit, in today's world, many people will talk about faith. They'll talk about my faith and what I believe in almost sort of a personal idea for them. But is that what the Christian faith is all about? So as we are doing our Advent preparation, we are going to be focusing upon that concept of faith. Our text, as it was read from our reading from Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." Faith clings to these words so that we have hope. But first of all, let me begin with an illustration. It's a true discussion. It takes place not necessarily in Lutheran circles, but it probably could. It describes someone who is teaching a theology class, and he says, "I recall the student who came to me distressed that he was, in his words, losing my faith. When I inquired what the faith was that he was losing, he replied, 'I have problems with the virgin birth of Jesus. Don't I have to believe in the miraculous birth of Jesus in order to believe in Jesus?' he persisted. 'In one sense, no,' I replied. 'Yet in another sense, yes. We ask you to believe in the virgin conception of Jesus, and if we can get you to swallow that without choking, then there's no telling what someone can get you to believe. Come back next week and we'll try to convince you that the poor are royalty, the rich are in big trouble, that God, not the nations, rule the world, and on and on. We start you out with something fairly small like the virgin birth, then work you up to even more outrageous assertions." Like I said, this is not necessarily coming from a Lutheran circle, but it sort of begs the same point. What happens if there are certain aspects of the Christian faith that you're sort of sitting there going, "I'm not too sure if I'm 100% comfortable with this"? Does that mean I don't believe? What happens when my faith sort of wavers a moment? And I will admit, the key to this answer is the concept of my faith. For the purpose of this message, I want to distinguish between my faith and the faith. My faith is sort of based on a subjective faith. You know, what I believe, what I think is important. And everyone has their own faith. Even if you are an atheist, you have your own faith. If you're Buddhist, you have your own faith. If you're Muslim, you have your own faith, and so on down the line. Now, the compare and contrast that with the Christian faith. The Christian faith, which is based on the objective truths of the Bible, is centered upon Jesus Christ, plain and simple. And when my faith is equal to the Christian faith, there is perfect harmony. The problem comes in is my sinful nature. My sinful nature that wants to struggle and wrestle with certain issues. My sinful nature that basically says, "I'm not too sure, I'm 100% convinced of this." My sinful nature that says, "I need a little bit more encouragement." Hence, from Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we have that encouragement. This is why we have the Word of God. Why we have the Bible. God gives this to us as a wonderful gift so that we don't have to doubt. We don't have to feel insecure about our faith, because it's not really our faith. It's actually given to us by Christ. We just believe and trust in the promises of God. Plain and simple, to the point. But our human nature will remind us that's easily said than done. So what happens when the trials and tribulations of this world start rattling our faith? We go back to the one who gives faith. We go back to where faith is certain. We go back to the teaching of God's word. Even though inside we may be welling up with all sorts of emotions and all sorts of uncertainties, we go back to one thing that is certain. The Bible. God's word. God's word, when it was connected to water, giving you that faith. God's word, when it's connected to bread and wine, to strengthen and sustain that faith. God's word, period, to be read and to be proclaimed. Again, for the encouragement that is the basis of the Christian faith. But as we go on through life, we sometimes drift away, at least from the church. And sometimes people talk about drifting away from the faith. So we have to ask ourselves, on a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of Christian are you? Now, I will admit, that was probably the worst question I could ask. But some people have asked that question. The reason why I want to say that's the worst question I could ask is for this basic reason. There's no such thing as a 5 Christian or a 7 Christian or a 1 Christian. You either believe and trust in Christ or you don't. The whole concept of that dimmer switch with lights having different types of illumination for Christians is unheard of. We need to go to a black and white concept of Christianity. You are either in that saving relationship of Christ or you are not. Plain simple. It's an off and an on, not some sort of dimmer switch. So what happens when it seems like the storms of life are getting the best of us? Are we still in Christ? The answer is, of course. Unless if you have given up your faith and rejected Christ and pushed him out of your life, if you have been baptized, if you have confessed that faith and or taken that faith that has been given to you through baptism and hung on to that, yes, amen. This is God's gift to you. Unless if you have completely rejected that faith, even in the darkest moments of your life, God's grace is still there for you. Faith is sometimes a very interesting concept because people struggle with the concept of it's God's doing, not my doing. People start saying, isn't it something that I have to do, I have to believe, but God's word says it's given to you. It is by grace. It is a gift of God. So do you have this gift? Or are you saying no to this gift? Through the waters of holy baptism and through the gospel message, you have this gift. A gift that is designed, as Romans 15 verse 4 reminds us, for encouragement. Not for people to mess around with. Not for people to manipulate you with. Recently read an article from the Wall Street Journal that talked about tithing. And one of the sort of the people connected to that article basically was using tithing as a way of manipulation, saying, come on, show me your faith. Go ahead and tithe. Well, I don't know if I could find a good scriptural pretext to that. Some of you are probably going, oh, good, now I don't have to tithe anymore. Didn't say that either. But getting back to the concept is I don't want to use that as a manipulation, saying it's time for you to grow your faith. On that scale here, no, there is no scale. It's either on or off. You're in Christ or you're not in Christ. So when the storms of life somehow get the best of us and that doubt starts creeping in, and don't tell me we don't have doubt. You want to hear about doubt, and the perfect example of this. I know Saturday we have our Christmas choral service. On Sunday, we're going to hear about John the Baptist in jail, so to speak. The one who says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and is now in jail. And what does he say through his disciples? Are you the Christ or should we expect someone else? Wow, what's changed? Did Christ change? No. Doubt was entering John the Baptist. So what happens when doubt enters us? At that point, was John the Baptist tossed out of the Christian faith? Did Christ disown him? The answer was no. Christ continued to give that message of good news to him. Likewise, in the midst of our shaky lives, and when the devil tries to convince us, you haven't been a good Christian. Well, you're right. If I was a good Christian, I wouldn't need Christ. Plain and simple. I'm a sinner. Henceforth, I need Christ. Don't let the devil try to take this faith away from you. He doesn't really take it away from you except by intellectual arguments. He's trying to convince you to give it up. He's trying to convince you, oh yeah, you're not the best Christian. You're not the best Lutheran. Oh yeah, you are a sinner. Great, then come back to where God's word is certain, where his word is proclaimed, where the sacraments are administered. Come back to where God is. That's why we gather to hear his word, to be strengthened by it, to grow in the assurance that, yes, my faith is the faith of the Bible. Now, I will admit there are sometimes certain aspects of the Bible that, you know, we just sort of sit there and we sort of scratch our head and going, I'm not 100% sure of this, Pastor, but because it's in there, I'll believe it. Please don't ask me whether there was one angel at the tomb or two. Depends on which gospel reader you want to read. Bottom line, there was an angel there at the tomb. And there's some other little things like that in Scripture. Fair enough. It doesn't shatter my faith. That's what the Scripture writer wrote. That's what I believe. Again, God's word isn't designed to take you away from that faith, but to build, to encourage that faith that God has given to you. So where is our hope? Last week we talked about a little bit about being behind God. Today we're talking about being with God, based on God through faith. Faith that is encouraging you each and every day. Faith that gives you strength. Faith so that, yes, when the temptations of the devil come by, you can sit there and say, I don't need to fall into that temptation. I have something stronger. It's something not of myself. It is of God. And that's the key. When we start comparing the religions of the world, we start seeing a lot of man-made type concepts. Concepts that come from within the person. In Christianity, however, based on God's word, we see God coming to us. That is the whole purpose of this Advent preparation, to prepare us for God again coming to us. He comes to us in our baptism. He comes to us again in the Lord's Supper, all because he first came to us in that little baby born in Bethlehem. And he says he is coming again. So prepare. That's what Advent is about, to prepare for his coming. Because whether we may feel he is going to come or not is irrelevant. The faith tells us he is coming. So during this Advent time, we put our faith and trust into what is sound, what is certain, what never fails, never changes. The God who fulfills his promise. Something from outside of us that is perfect. To redeem us who are imperfect. We take a look at that manger. And as we get closer and closer to Christmas, we are reminded why we need God to come to us. Because if it was up to us and my faith, I'd be all over the place based on my emotions, based on my intellectual thought or lack thereof. But we come here tonight, not because of your faith, but the faith that God has given. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all our understanding, will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.